is Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and tune in. If you want the show live tonight, you're either watching it by way of our subscription feed, the video cast, or you're listening on TuneIn, or you're listening to the live feed that we provide on our website at philhendryshow.com, or you're listening to one of our many fine affiliates. Great broadcasters across the country on the terrestrial thing. Welcome to our show, and for those of you that tuned in to Phil TV and HD, you would be our subscribers, our Backstage Pass members. I wanted to publicly apologize to you, not just to you on the Backstage Pass feed, which is our pre-show, which you guys have access to. I wanted to do it here over the air because I want everybody to hear what occurred yesterday, and I would not make an issue of this were it not for the fact that it's a long-standing problem.
Well, so you're going to make an example out of Time Warner Cable. Is this what you're going to do, even after we talked about this?
Thank you for your advice, Margaret, but yes. Yes, what I'm going to tell my subscribers is that, as you well know, around, three or four minutes left in the first half, would you say? I'm not exactly sure when. Suddenly, we lost the game, and I thought it was most likely the service to our studio. We lost the Time Warner feed to our studio. As it turned out, according to the news this morning and last night, and I didn't even bother to look at the news because I just assume our service from Time Warner Cable has been so traditionally bad. And when I say bad, I'm not exaggerating. When you have to explain, you know.
Well, now, Phil, you've already beat this horse, you know.
Yeah, what do you want to beat on a horse for?
What do you mean beat on? You mean beat a dead horse?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I ain't beating a dead horse, okay?
But you're beating on the horse.
You like saying...
Phil, he's saying beating on a horse because it's a euphemism, and he's all over there going, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Well, I'm trying to lighten the mood.
Hey, pal, I'll lighten the mood when the mood needs to be lightened. Right now, it doesn't need lightening, okay?
Whatever.
No, not whatever, because here's the thing. When these guys came out here to our studio for another issue having to do with the internet... And the tech gets out of the truck, and the guy comes down to the backside of our building, and I say to him, you know, what do you think? Well, you know, sir, this and that. And I say, and I've already told you this story, but I think it bears repeating given the problems we had yesterday. And I pointed at one of the telephone poles that still serves to supply the communication grid here. It's not underground. Most neighborhoods are underground. And I said, why don't you check that connection there? This guy was about to jump into his truck and run off to Burger King after he called his maintenance department and put it through about 9 million different people and the red tape, you know.
Well, now, Phil, you know, these are guys that work for a living, so don't start busting their castanets just yet.
Hey, what is it with everybody? Listen to what I'm going to say, all right?
No, everyone wants to hear what you have to say.
We just don't want you to get... We don't want to run afoul of Time Warner now... While things are getting good.
What's getting good?
Well, at least you got your internet service back.
Oh, well, things are getting too good. I mean, that's living high. That's living high and mighty, man, when we actually have our internet service. No, I'm going to say this. What are you doing?
Well, I'm folding my arms and sitting and waiting, as one would, the presidential State of the Union address.
Do you guys have stock in Time Warner or something?
Why do you say that?
Because you're sitting here making sure that I don't run afoul of their feelings over there at Time Warner.
Just don't want to have nothing else happen.
Oh, look, you could treat those people at Time Warner you could send them chocolates every day. You could send them flowers every day. You could tell them that they're the greatest thing that ever happened to you. You could love them and need them and not live without them. And they're still going to provide the crap can service they always have. So, but anyway, here's the thing. When I got to tell this guy where to go to fix something... And that's exactly what happened. I'm not exaggerating at all. And he gets up the pole, and he tightens this thing. And that was it. That's all that needed to be done. He didn't have to call the maintenance department. He didn't have to do anything else. This is what, by any measure, is considered to be not only substandard work, it's not even professional work. It's the work of an amateur, some kid that they sent out with a bag, you know, with a belt around him, that he claims to be some kind of a technician. Now, what happened yesterday, across the board, and I'm actually grateful that it did happen, because... Now everybody knows, it made the news, Time Warner Cable lost the Super Bowl feed. The service was interrupted, And the service was interrupted for me for at least a couple of... Now, here's what Time Warner Cable says they're going to do. They're going to give a credit. Here's what I'm going to do. Your credit, keep it. I'm going to DirecTV. And what happened was, it just so happened that one of our neighbors was installing DirecTV in his office, and I just went right up to the truck and got the guy's card, got the promo code, got the number, and DirecTV is coming in here within the next 2 weeks, and that's the end of the line for Time Warner, period, exclamation point, boom. So you can keep your credit, do whatever you want to do. As it turned out, we had to put an apology on the homepage and so on and so forth. Angry Time Warner cable customers across Southern California demanded the cable giant offer a refund or credit customers' accounts Monday after their service was interrupted. On Monday evening, Monday, that's how long it took them, the company announced that all L.A. area customers would automatically receive a gift of appreciation following the blackout. Oh, brother, this is... Digital TV customers will receive a credit for the cost of an on-demand movie. How do you like that? That's about, what, $7? And analog customers will get a $5 gift card that will be provided automatically. No customer action is necessary, they said very proudly, snapping their suspenders with their thumbs. Time Warner's analog and standard definition feeds, boom, 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 boom. They all went dark on Sunday during the second quarter of the big game. The outage also affected Southern California stations KCAL and KTLA. Time Warner Cable sent out a tweet Sunday around 4:45 and said it was investigating the issue. L.A. customers were investigating an issue, yada, yada, yada. Part of the Coachella Valley in Ventura County also experienced signal losses, according to the Press Enterprise. A number of viewers looked to social media to complain about the or took to social media to complain about it. Twitter user Ann McElhaney posted a picture of a dark television screen with the caption, "That's us not watching the Super Bowl." McElhaney told Channel 5 she's from Ireland, was watching her first Super Bowl when the screen went dark at a party in Northridge. Welcome to America! Another cable customer named Vicky Arkoff tweeted, "Worst cable company ever, Time Warner Cable fail." Well, that's the truth. The blackout lasted an hour. However, Time Warner Cable's high-definition channels were not affected. Ain't that just fantastic? They said most of their viewers watch the HD signal. Well, you know what, man? It may be most of your viewers, but there's a lot of people that don't, and it made the news. All right, so... your service sucks, and whether or not I have a high-definition television or not, which I may buy in the next, 48 hours, that doesn't matter either because I'm gone, man. I got me DirecTV, which I did have at my other residence, and we're going to get it again.
What do you think of that?
I thought DirecTV was phenomenal. I thought it was fantastic. We hardly ever had a problem whatsoever. The only problem we ever had with DirecTV was the occasional blurry screen or something because of or a scrambled screen because of some rain, but that happened maybe twice, three times tops, and their customer service was fantastic, and I loved everything about them. So that's what we're going to do, and thank you very much.
Well, you're very calm about it, but you know that they can. I'm afraid they'll get revenge.
What do you mean?
What do you mean by revenge?
Well, they'll mess with your internet connection. I don't know.
Yeah, and me. They may get in and monkey with the internet connection.
What about that? You know, they monkey around with.
I don't. Hold on. I don't think they'll monkey around with any internet connection. My God, that'll. Why? Do you realize what will happen if they catch somebody monkeying with that?
Well, what do you mean they'll monkey with it? What is that supposed to mean? I know Phil had an issue with one of the technicians.
What are you looking all concerned for?
Well, what is this? A racist sort of?
It's not racist.
I'm talking, when we said monkey around, we're talking about an idiot.
It's got nothing to do with race. It's about the idiocy.
Well, I don't like you talking about monkeying around. What race was the technician that came out here?
You never mind, Margaret. It's got nothing to do with that. All right, so the guy won't monkey around. It'll be something else.
What guy?
The Time Warner guy that you say is going to monkey around with my internet connection because I'm complaining about their lousy cable service. It won't be, he won't monkey around. What will he do?
What do you mean he won't monkey around?
Never mind.
I don't know.
I just want to make sure you don't run afoul of the goodwill you've developed with your listeners.
Margaret, the term monkey around is not racial. It's some jackass. You know, that's what it did. It connotes an idiot getting in there and fixing something when, a smart guy should. All right, speaking of Margaret.
And monkey.
How dare you?
Hey, watch it. God, man. Margaret will be here in just a moment to comment and to report as well as Dr. Jim Sandler on the very, very tragic news of Philip Seymour Hoffman. That was a drag. I always enjoyed the great talent of that man. Capote, probably my favorite film of his was Capote. It was a brilliant, brilliant performance, and so many other great movies that were a part of his, you know, his resume. Philip Seymour Hoffman died of a heroin overdose, and there's been, you know, in the first few minutes there was of the word reaching people, there was an outpouring of sadness. I was one of them, and now, you know, 24 hours later or thereabouts, now the haters are jumping in and talking about how, you know, what a wasted life and this and that. And I just wonder, when people hate like that or when they criticize like that, are they really talking about how tragic heroin addiction is and what a, you know, waste of a life it is? Or are they just upset with their own lot in life? And a guy like Philip Seymour Hoffman, in their mind, got all the good stuff and he didn't deserve it. I just wonder.
Well, what do you mean? Are you saying there's jealousy?
I wonder, when I read people criticizing someone after that individual has died, if there isn't a little bit of that. I don't know. We'll find out. World famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. And we're online, of course, at philhenryshow.com. Tune in. Get your TuneIn app and check out the Phil Henry Channel live every night, 7 to 10 on the Pacific Coast. And we'll be right back. Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and with a backstage pass, you could be watching this thing, not just listening to it tonight. You could be watching us on our video feed, on our Phil TV feed, and who knows, you know, on any given night, that could be... Oy.
Well, you don't look too bad tonight, Phil.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that.
Well, you're always complaining about how you feel and how you look after a weekend. You don't look that bad.
Yeah, usually you're all, you know, what are you giving me the high sign for?
You don't talk about how I look because of whatever I did.
But look, Phil, let's say, let's put things in perspective. You had a better weekend than Philip Hoffman, didn't you?
That's not funny, you know.
I'm not trying to be funny.
Well, even if you're not trying to be funny, it's still not funny.
Gad!
Oh, give me a break, will you?
General, that was...
What about you, Robert? Didn't you give me some love for that one?
No, that was no good, General. No good, no. No.
Yeah, that sucked.
Well, you guys are... You know what? All of you people, you're like the proverbial fart. If I were dead and I was in a casket, you'd climb in and fart and then climb out and shut the lid and sit on it. I'm going to go get a vanilla...
A what?
I'm going to get a vanilla wafer. You want to come with me?
Yeah, you don't fart.
I'm not going to fart. I said...
We understood what you said, General. Thank you. If I was dead, you'd get into the coffin, fart, then climb out and sit on the lid?
Yes, he was talking about all of us, all four of us.
Yeah, we get in there.
Okay, anyway, welcome back to the program here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret, a sad weekend indeed with the passing of Philip Seymour Hoffman. And I meant what I said. You know, I thought the guy was fantastic. And people that are addicted to anything, a drug, alcohol, you know, we know that alcoholism is a disease. Substance abuse is a disease. It has to do with the biochemistry of the brain. It has to do with our inability to cope with certain mood-altering chemicals. The brain chemistry cannot... For whatever reason, genetic or otherwise, it is unable to process properly these mood-altering chemicals, and we are drawn to overindulge, to abuse, to continue to take these drugs, as opposed to the rest of us who know how to moderate this. We don't need as much. We know when to stop and to move on and be sober for a few hours. And, you know, it's not party time 24/7. For a substance abuser, we all seem to think that it's a, I don't know, you know.
Well, we think that it is a personality issue, and it is not. Now, I've known some individuals, my nephew, who I was always a great kid, but Wolfgang... What?
Hold on. The young man's name was Wolfgang?
Yes, my nephew on my sister's side, which would make him my sister's son, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, that's what...
Phil, don't look at me like I'm a bad relative. I just It is my sister's... Yes, my nephew.
Yeah, and his name's Wolfgang.
Yes, his name's Wolfgang. You got a problem with that?
Well, no.
No?
Good. He was a substance abuser. Now, he's cleaned up, and he's doing very well. But at the time, he abused heroin. Didn't abuse heroin. He was using heroin, which in my opinion is abuse. And he was also a slob. We didn't like him. He was an obnoxious person. So that does happen.
All right. So in other words, there's a mixture of not only the chemical abuse, but the person can be just a real jackass.
Absolutely. Now, Mimi O'Donnell told investigators she is the estranged, I believe the estranged significant other or life partner of Philip Seymour Hoffman. She told New York police that the Academy Award-winning actor appeared to be high when she saw him the day before he was found dead from an apparent drug overdose. Mimi O'Donnell told investigators that she saw Mr. Hoffman Saturday, 2 p.m. on the street near his West Village apartment, and that he appeared to be under the influence of drugs. She spoke to him on the phone at about 8 p.m. Saturday night, and he again sounded high, so...
Unreal. Now, he was 46, right?
Yes, he was 46 years of age. They discovered him 11:30 Sunday morning, unconscious. And this was a friend of his, a screenwriter, and his assistant, Isabella Wing Davy, also. So.
Now, Jim Sadler is going to join us, and I don't want to talk about any more about Philip Seymour Hoffman, because it's a specific story and has meaning and very, very painful resonance with a lot of people. I don't need to talk about that. We can talk about drug addiction and talk about substance abuse and the toll that takes with Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego here. This evening, Dr. Sadler joins us. Dr. Sadler, my understanding is that you are an internist, but you have been on our program before talking on a variety of medical issues.
Yeah, you had talked about being a veterinarian.
Would you be quiet for a minute, please?
What did he say?
He said that you've been on our program talking about veterinary medicine, too.
That's right. That's right. Is that supposedly, knocking what I'm doing?
No, but it's just kind of weird.
Dr. Sadler was a veterinarian, right?
I was a veterinarian, yeah. Are you making... what's the problem? Wow.
No, there's no problem. You were a veterinarian, and then you became an internal medicine... You became an internist.
Yes, that's right, and...
Yeah, but you also came on here and talked about being a dentist and everything.
Would you shut up, bud?
You know, Phil, I got better things to do. I can rearrange my sock drawer. I can take a bath, and... I don't need this. No, I don't need this.
All right, I will ask Bud Dickman to just be quiet. While what you say is true, Bud, we don't need to indict the doctor, since you at one time were a veterinarian, and you also have been on our program commenting on dentistry. Are you a dentist?
No, I'm not a dentist. No, I've studied that. I know you asked me to come on the program.
But you represented yourself as a dentist at one time, didn't you?
I said that I had done some dental work. I had done some dental work for a brother. My brother had had very bad teeth. He'd had a toothache, and he needed a tooth pulled. If that makes me a dentist...
So all you did was pull a guy's tooth?
My brother's tooth, not just a guy.
Yeah, would that make you a dentist?
You know something? I'll see you later.
Would you shut up, bud?
Look what you did, bud. You can't keep your big mouth shut.
Bud, if people don't want to talk to you, don't say anything.
Now I'm going to let you call him back and try to talk him into coming back on the air.
I didn't know.
Yeah, you did know, because I keep talking to you about this, to shut your big fat bazoo, and you don't do it. Dr. Jim Sadler, who is an internal medicine, he's an internist, okay? So he's not a veterinarian, and he's not a dentist, even though he pulled his brother's tooth once, and he was on a show once talking about dogs and cats. And he has talked about psychology. He's none of that. He's just a regular family physician. But we have him on the show.
Yeah, you want to come back on? I don't know. But you're the one that hung up.
Can I talk to him, please?
Hold on. You're the one that hung up. Yeah, on account of what they said.
Give me the phone! Dr. Set, he hung up.
Yeah.
Give me that. I'll call him back. Dial the number. We're just... Hold on for a minute, folks. Dial the number.
See. I got it in my other book.
Hey, bud, don't screw with me, man, because you just called him back, so I know you got the number.
Sorry.
Hey, Dr. Sadler, Phil, he hung up again. Okay, well, that's it.
See, I told you.
No, you didn't tell me anything. You were just talking to him. We had him on the phone. Call him back and tell him we apologize, okay?
Yeah, he hung up on you.
He hung up on me. He didn't hang up on you.
Why would he hang up on you?
Hung up on Mr. Henry, because Mr. Henry's show is the one that what was rude to him.
Yeah, but he's not hanging up on you, and you're the jackass that was giving him a hard time. Why is that? You guys, boyfriend and girlfriend?
Oh, look out. Shut up.
No, I don't think I will shut up. All right, we're going to come right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Stick around. We'll see if we get the doc back on the line here.
Sacrifices.
Thank you. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We do have Dr. Jim Sadler with us on the line, and we do apologize, Dr. Sadler. I'm not trying to, and I apologize on behalf of my staff, Dr. Sadler. We're not trying to indict your professionalism. I should not have brought a lot of this up. We have Dr. Sadler with us to talk about the dangers of addiction, obviously, the dangers of recreational drug use, legal or illegal. And this, of course, on the heels of obvious recent events. I didn't want to get into specifics. We've already mentioned the name Philip Seymour Hoffman. And so, Doc, to the extent that there was a misunderstanding...
I appreciate that. Let me just say I appreciate it. I heard your staff ask me about being a veterinarian, and the implication or the tone to the question was, what do you think? What are you, some kind of a weirdo, or, you know, are you some quack who used to work on dogs and teeth, and you also now do surgery? I mean, the whole implication of the audience was that I'm some kind of a weird quack, and I have a laboratory. You know?
Well, I apologize if that impression was given. Bud, you wanted to say you were sorry as well?
Yes, sir. I want to say I'm sorry. I didn't to call a quack.
Well, you know, I used the word quack, Bud. You don't have to, you know, but the implication was quack.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Dr. Are you saying you are crack? Did you say the implication is you're cracked or you're quacked?
Boy, I hope you're kidding.
No, no, no. She honestly couldn't hear you.
I couldn't hear you, Doctor. I'm sorry.
I'm cracked. The implication was that I was a quack. I didn't say I'm quacked. I said I'm cracked.
Because of the, well, you should say, Phil.
There is a perception because of the obvious, and you've referred to your speech impediment, that you said quacked instead of cracked.
That I said quacked, and so the R is a W on the count of, oh, okay, well, it's, you know something, you guys walked right up to the line on that one. I was about ready to slam the phone down again, but I, okay, I'll give you that.
By the way, are you on a cell phone?
Yes, I am.
Then what are you slamming the phone down into? There's no cradle, right?
No, but what I like to do is I slam the phone down, and then I turn the power off just to make it sound like I slammed it down.
Dr. Jim Sadler is with us as we talk about. Let's discuss this heroin. First of all, a person that is addicted to heroin, are they a bad person?
Of course, they're not a bad person. There are varying and differing amounts of commentary and scientific data and literature on addiction, Phil. As you have mentioned often, a great deal has been done in terms of the pharmacology. I think that there are people who are seriously addicted. There is nothing wrong with their character. And this is, as you pointed out, biochemical, as is the case with Philip Seymour Hoffman. There are others who are addicted to heroin or to other drugs who are morally suspect, who are morally degenerated to a degree. You and I and other people, and I can talk about it now with your audience, my wife, Melanie, who I met through my practice. She was a recovering drug user when I met her and married her. I saw her before we were married with the various men that she would be dating and associating with, gallivanting and frolicking about.
When you say gallivanting and frolicking, what do you mean, Doctor?
Well, Melanie was with a lot of different men, multiracial, you know.
Did that bother you?
I don't want to answer any questions from him.
All right, but just, but it's a good question. Did it bother you?
Did what bother me?
The fact that your wife-to-be, or at the time, you weren't dating her, right?
No, I would have nothing to do with the degenerate way that she was behaving. She would come into my office for her checkup and to get her methadone and also some Xanax, and oftentimes had some guy that she was at that time hanging around. I would say seeing, but that sounds like it was a legitimate relationship, and there was nothing legitimate about what they involved themselves in, I can well imagine.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Jim Sadler here about the dangers and the travesty of addiction. He's talking about his... Now, Melanie, you're married to.
Yes, I'm married to her now, but before we were married. And what happened this past weekend, recent events, reminded me of... Philip Seymour Hoffman was a good man with a very, very tough addiction problem. But my wife, Melanie, and I think she recognizes this, she was not a good woman. She was addicted to heroin, not because she had a biochemical problem, but, and I can say this now, I think, and I can say this without shuddering, I can say this without maintain control of my emotions, but she was addicted to heroin because she was just scum.
That's a very, very harsh indictment.
That sounded very strong.
Well, you know, let me just breathe a little bit. Melanie, before you go out, I'm on the phone now with the radio station talking about the scum that he was. She's going out for the night again. Boy.
That reminds me of, well, I shouldn't say Dr. Sadler, but it reminds me of that very famous song that everybody knows about.
What song is that?
About Ruby taking it to the town?
In a lot of ways, yes. My relationship, it's not that pathetic. I mean, that poor man in that song was pathetic.
All right, we're talking about Dr. Jim Sadler. You talking about the song Ruby?
Yes, the song Ruby, where he's a pathetic guy in a wheelchair and she's taking it she's taking what she got into town, you know.
Well, do you feel that way? Do you feel like you're that man?
No, I don't feel like I'm that man, but look, this isn't about me. All of a sudden, I feel like I got all eyes on me, you know.
All right, our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Let's go over to Bobby. Bobby, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Bobby.
Oh, hi. I'm Dr. Sadler. This is Bobby, and I'm a frequent guest of Phil's. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to ask you, when you say that she takes it to town, or she did take it into town, what is the it you're talking about?
Well, the it that I'm talking about is that she's taking it. She's taking the package that the men want, you know, if you,
I'm trying to tell my wife to talk about the app.
Okay, is that Steve? Is that your husband?
Yes, it is. Steve, honey, please.
Yeah, please ask him not to chime in like that.
Well, Andy said don't chime in.
No, I'm talking about the app.
Well, your husband's right. That's exactly what she was taking into town. She, excuse my language, Phil, but when Melanie went into town, she was taking her ass into town. Okay, there, you happy?
No, I didn't bring it up to be happy or unhappy, doctor. I simply wanted to be clear what she was taking into town. Did that make her the scum of the earth, as you say?
Not because she was taking it into town? No, that didn't necessarily make her the scum of the earth. But I think if you know the song Ruby, you know, you've painted up your lips and you've painted up your hair and curled your lips. And, oh, Ruby, don't take it into town, you know?
Well, I don't think that's exactly how it goes.
No, it doesn't go like that. I can sing the song if you'd like, Dr. Sadler.
No, I'd rather you not.
Well, what is that supposed to mean? You want me to be sensitive to your feelings.
All right, hold on. The song, I think, people, you've painted up your
I know the lyrics.
Hold on, Dr. Sadler, what is it?
You've painted up your hair and curled and rolled your tinted lips.
Are you nuts or something? That's not how it goes.
I don't think it goes like that, Dr. Sadler. I think it goes, Steve.
You painted up the lips and pulled cocked your hair. Ruby, are you climbing out? Are you climbing out the window to go out there? The shadow on the wall tells me the sun's gone down. Oh, Ruby, don't paint your face up like a clown.
Is that Glenn? Are you people trying to be funny? Because I can tell you right now, you're not.
I apologize, Dr. Sadler. Obviously, that was a crank call coming in from Bobby Dooley at Western Estates, and I had no idea.
Yeah, right.
I didn't have any idea, sir. Dr. Jim Sadler with us. Is that her?
Yeah, what are you trying to pull anyway, Dooley? Yeah. Mr. Henry, it's Booby Dooley.
Yeah, what are you trying to pull?
Phil, that was not us. That was my son, Justin, on the other end. And we did not hang up, and we were not trying. I'm sorry Steve got the words wrong to the song, but we're trying to find out the very bottom. We're trying to get to the bottom.
All right. Would you put everybody on hold for a second, please? My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. We obviously have a crank caller on the line. Ms. Dooley is claiming it's her eldest son, whoever, Justin. We do have Dr. Jim Sadler with us.
You know, Phil, a lot of people are going to be listening to this, and they're going to think you're making a big joke out of the tragedy of heroin addiction.
I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to have the doctor speak specifically to the problem and not get off on a tangent about anything. I'm just trying to, you know, look, we know that it is it can be pharmacologically treated. We know that addictions are within the treatment reach of our doctors and researchers. They have the drugs that can manipulate the biochemistry of the brain and enable addicts to begin to recover. This is the first time in history that this has happened. We know that a lot of it has to do with other untreated trauma, psychological trauma. We know that in some instances there may be a character problem, but in most instances it has to do strictly with the terribly devastating physical reality of addiction.
Yay!
Don't applaud me.
Well, you know, Phil, it was good, but you got to get Dickman under control with the paint your face.
General Shaw, but don't make fun of that song. It's a Vietnam-era song, and a lot of the Vietnam vets like General Shaw, you know.
Well, it isn't so much that. It's when Dickman starts. Was that where that other guy sang it? He sounded like 100 yards of Jackass. And I'll tell you this right now. If he ever comes within fist range of me, it's fire one, fire two, all tubes empty.
Whatever.
All right. We'll be back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show with more from Dr. Jim Sadler and our discussion here about the problem of addiction and the solutions to the problem of addiction. The world famous Phil Henry Show. And welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Here tonight we have Dr. Jim Sadler with us. Look, I don't want to make this about Dr. Sadler, and I think that when you jump in here, Bud, you confuse the issue just a little bit, and you make things a lot less clear. You muddy the water. You're talking about Dr. Sadler. And again, Dr. Sadler, my apologies. We're not trying to make this about you. We are trying to make this about the problem. You did bring up one thing that I think is interesting. And that is your current wife, Melanie, before you met her.
Well, I brought Melanie up because I wanted people to know that you can be an addict and you can also, and I don't think I'm talking out of school, you can also just be, you know, a lowlife. And
you're saying your wife's a lowlife.
Will you shut up, Bud?
If you don't get that guy to shut up, I'm either going to hang up or I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to drive there and I'm going to do some...
Well, wait a minute, Dr. Sadler. This is General Shaw. You're not going to drive here and do anything, sir. I can assure you.
Well, would you please ask the guy?
Bud, be quiet.
Yeah.
Dr. Sadler, look, you're the one that said your wife is a lowlife.
I said my wife was a lowlife when she was using, and when she cleaned up, she started to get clean. She cleaned the whole thing up. Now, yeah, she went out tonight to dance and party with her girlfriends. That's what she does. I don't find that to be low-life behavior at all. Although, yeah, she comes home at 3 a.m., and I saw some creep drop her off. But I said to her, you're not, you know, going around on me. And she said, no, 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 no. She said that that was some bum that she met, but she needed a ride home, and it gave her the creeps getting a ride from the guy. But what's she gonna do? You know?
Well, that doesn't sound very intelligent, if you ask me.
No one's asking you.
You're saying to Phil, no one's asking him. You just said your wife took a ride from a creep.
Exactly. She took a ride from a creep, and I said to her, what are you doing? And she said, well, you know, I had to get... What's this all about, anyway?
All right, let's get it off of your personal life. I think we brought your wife up. That's a bad idea. You've worked with addicts, one of whom was your wife. Most of them are morally good people. They are responsible people. They love their families, love their children, love their wives, love their mates. And when they get involved with drugs, it's when their lives begin to fall apart. But you're not talking about a character failing with most addicts, are you?
Well, absolutely not, Phil. You're talking about people who have just simply been swept up in the biochemical vortex of a swirling vortex of destruction that is... the biochemistry that contributes to the addiction problem. In other words, you're a good person, but you have, if you want to call it an allergy, you can call it an allergy. You can call it a weakness, like diabetes, like too much blood sugar, like insulin not producing enough. There's all kinds of physical illnesses that we have that will affect how we live, and addiction is no different. If you have a biochemical weakness, in the case of my wife, that just ain't that's not it. You know, she's just a real, and I love her, and I think she's a wonderful woman. Believe me when I tell you, she's a fantastic woman. She is simply the scum of the earth if she gets around the wrong people.
Now, what about the fact that some bum dropped her off?
Well, wait a minute. Why are we talking about my wife?
You brought her up.
You just brought her up. You know, Sadler, you've got to remember who you are, the one that brought her up.
Could you not call me Sadler, if it's all right?
Well, you brought her up. All right, hold on.
No, just don't call me Sadler, okay? Shaw.
I'm a United States Army general.
Well, you can be I don't care if you're a Cub Scout leader, you know?
All right, gentlemen, that's fine. That's enough. You know, let's have the respect that we should have and call people by their... a first name. Let's be friendly about this. Why are we at each other's throats? I have no idea.
On account of the fact the guy called his wife a lowlife.
Hey, what did I say about that guy? When I hear that guy's voice, in that guy's voice, I can hear a metal plate in his head. You understand? So,
all right, bud, for the last time, shut up or I'll just send you home tonight. I mean, I'll kick you out of here and you're going home. Okay, so what are the solutions to... If you don't want to talk about your wife, don't bring her up.
I brought her up only in passing as a way to illustrate the question, you know, the answer to the question. You know, if someone is a drug addict, then is it a moral failing or are they simply biochemically degraded or degraded? That's all.
All right, let's go to Roy here in Boston, Massachusetts, listening to us tonight. Roy, you're on the Phil Henry Show with... you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Dr. Jim Sadler. Go ahead.
Oh, hello, Dr. Sadler. Nice to talk with you.
All right.
Well, Dr. Sadler, I don't have a specific question about addiction. I just wanted to call in and thank you for the great work that you're doing and the great work that you your wife is doing in this regard. I think the two of you are a credit to the world of recovering addicts.
My wife is not doing... Thank you very much.
His wife is not doing anything. His wife's an addict.
Yeah, my wife's an addict, so she's not...
All right, I understand. What I wanted to tell you is to thank you, because at one time I myself was a morphine abuser. I had become addicted after I had been in the hospital in the Army, and I was given morphine for pain. And I'd had a major surgery done, a kidney surgery, and they'd given me morphine. And I became a morphine addict for some 5 years. And I was about as low as you could get, believe me, in my life. So People like your wife and yourself?
My wife hasn't done anything. I've done things. My wife hasn't done anything.
Okay, I apologize.
His wife was an addict. Is she still an addict?
Well, I'd rather not comment on that. But yes. But I'd rather not comment on it.
Well, I understand. I was an addict for some 5 years after I got out of the Army. I hooked on morphine, and then I did move on to... Then I got hooked on methadone for a while, if you believe that. But I'm so grateful that there were people there for me. So if you wouldn't mind to thank... Okay, I won't thank your wife, but I do thank you and the great work that you have done to save addicts.
Well, I appreciate that very much, sir, and continued success to you.
Well, I'm going to try, and I'll take another run at it.
Are you using again?
I am. Yes, I am. But I'm taking another run at it tonight after hearing the broadcast.
Wait a minute. You are currently using addictive drugs.
I am, Phil. Yes, I am. I took 5 years I used, and then I got clean, but I'm back on it now. But I'm going to take another run at it. Because I've been listening to the great stories here from Dr. Sandler, and certainly the great inspiration his wife is.
My wife hasn't done anything. My wife hasn't done anything. My wife hasn't done anything. You understand?
Okay. Yes. All right. Well.
All right. Thank you very much, and thank you, Dr. Sandler, for being with us. We are going to take a break and come back here on the other side of the news with more of this marvelousness. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, online at philhenryshow.com, and tune in.
These callers that you had tonight...